The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, where winter is apparently not done yet, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker. Hashtag humble bunker.
Yes. It's May the 16th of 2014. Whenever you're listening to this, thank you for inviting us inside your ear holes. And
Open up your head holes, Slappy.
About to testify. And it is snowed in Chicago today.
Well, of course. Yeah. Do you really think we were going to get warm weather? Ha!
Snowy weather. Since
well, they
life.
Would love to have snow or the rain that we've been getting for the last, I don't know, year and a half in California.
Yeah, it's been awfully dry.
It's been very dry. And wildfires, as of this morning, they were fighting at least 9, if not 10 wildfires in the area around Carlsbad, I think, near San Diego, San Marcos, California, that area. San Diego County. I'm looking at the story right now on CNN. A couple of teenagers were arrested this morning for setting what was either the 9th or the 10th fire. I couldn't tell from how it was written. Who teaches these kids to write these days?
I don't know.
You put the information in the lead paragraph, and then you give more information about the information.
That doesn't often happen anymore. Yeah, no. Sometimes you have to read way down into an article.
To the very last paragraph to discover what it was really about. And that the headline had no relationship whatsoever to the story, which is why when you share a report on Facebook or Twitter or any of the social media websites, you might want to read the article before you share it. Recent studies said that, something like 80-90% of people who share to their social media pages have never read the article they're sharing.
No, that's true. And sometimes people will comment on those articles without having read them, which is
really crazy.
Pretty clear.
Which tells us that Facebook is onto something. Switching over Instagram, all those that are essentially, we're going to show you a picture and maybe a little bit of a blurb, maybe even something written on there like it's a meme poster. And that's all the news you need. That's all you need to know,
buddy.
Don't
make me think. Just show me images.
Exactly. Right. And make sure that there are scantily clad women somewhere on your page.
Yeah.
In fact, if you can put them all over your page and animate them, all the better.
Yeah. Or dancing homers.
Dancing. Scantily clad.
Woohoo!
Oh, honey. You know, somebody's going to hear that and go, hey. Derek's rocking on Homer.
We found the secrets to the clicks. It's been a couple of months since we've done one of these programs. It's been a long time,
and we ask your forgiveness for this. It's kind of crazy in our bunker most weeks, and oftentimes Derek and I don't actually get to talk to each other in normal life. You know,
as often as
microphones,
we like, anyway. Yeah.
As often as we like. And the truth is that I often go to bed by 7 o'clock, if not a little earlier, depending on when Sam stares at me.
Yeah.
But that makes it difficult when you don't get home until late in the evening to even do anything. So,
well, it's been a little busy. Thankfully, just a little aside here, the economy in Southern Illinois actually seems to be healthier than one would expect.
Praise God for it.
Well, as I have admitted many times in the last 3 years to the customers and prospects that I meet in my travels, you'll have to forgive me. I grew up in Chicago. And
then they are.
Yes.
Share a hearty laugh.
That explains everything. Yes.
Come on in, boy. We'll teach you a thing or three.
Exactly right. You grew up in the city. You think the world ends at I-80. And, you know, if you look at a map of Illinois, you'll see Internet 80. I-80 is like the top, you know, 10-15% of the state of Illinois. And I know that there are folks in Rockford and Freeport and Galena who are saying, don't include us in this mess. It's not our fault.
Can we just start a 51st state called North Illinois?
Yeah.
Or just Chicago?
It would make the rest of Illinois very, very happy.
Yep.
To win the governorship in Illinois, Pat Quinn carried four counties. And to carry Illinois in the 2012 presidential election, Mr. Obama carried two counties, Cook and Will.
But he won all 57
states. But he got all of our electoral – he got all of our electoral votes because of those two counties.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of coal being dug out of the ground in Illinois, which has been a major industry in the southern part of the state. In fact, the minor league baseball team based out of Marion, Illinois, mm-hmm. is the Southern Illinois Miners.
The coal miners.
Yes, exactly.
The coal miner team.
Yeah. And, while Appalachia is sort of the image or the of being the heart of Illinois' coal industry or the America's coal industry,
right.
actually the most of the coal in the United States is coming from the Powder River Basin out west in Utah and Wyoming.
Yeah.
But Illinois in 2013 passed the Appalachians for tons of coal produced.
How about that?
Yeah, and it's up 25% over the last few years. So there's a lot going on here, and that's encouraging. But when you realize that a big part of your industry focuses on digging up coal and pulling petrochemical or petrocarbons out of the ground, oil and natural gas, and then you see the attitude this administration has toward those products,
mm-hmm.
you can understand why the rest of Illinois really doesn't like Chicago, because that's where Mr. Obama is from. So,
isn't the Powder River Basin in Wyoming?
Wyoming, yes. Excuse me.
So I was just picturing Dick Cheney, in a black sedan riding all over Illinois, telling people, here's money. Close down your shop.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Things like that probably, maybe not with names like Cheney attached. But, I've heard a story, and again, we're rabbit holing here, but there's a fellow I've become friends with, rabbit trailing, become friends with a fellow who is sort of an area historian for East Central Illinois. And he was born and raised here. He teaches school and said that John D. Rockefeller, who was the fellow who founded Standard Oil back in the day,
yes.
We're talking 100 plus years ago.
Yeah.
There was a time when East Central Illinois was the heart of the American oil industry. Yeah, they've been pulling oil out of Illinois for over 100 years. And apparently, at one point, they were there for the opening of a new mine. A new well that was being dug. And they were using nitroglycerin to blast through an obstacle downhole. And they dropped a canister with the nitro in it. And apparently whatever was blocking the way, the obstacle was cleared, and suddenly the pressure from down below forced the canister back out of the hole. Boop! And there goes this thing flying through the air full of nitroglycerin, while John D. Rockefeller and a number of other very wealthy captains of industry were standing there for the photo op, the big ribbon cutting of this
new. Oh, my gosh.
And the engineer in charge apparently very calmly walked over, caught it out of the air, dropped it back down the hole where it exploded. Just think how history might have been different had Rockefeller, the original Rockefeller, blowed up near Robinson, Illinois back in the day. So,
That's one of those alternative history moments that you could take and write an entire novel series based on.
So anyway.
Interesting.
Hey.
You said rabbit hole earlier, and I thought, I think rabbit holing is a much more appropriate expression for what we do instead of rabbit trailing. That chasing an idea that has nothing to do with rabbit holing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's going down where
digging down in.
White bunny goes.
Yeah.
That's going beyond the looking glass, so to speak. Yeah, I think that's more like we often do.
Go ask Alice.
Yes. I used to sing that song.
Oh, wow.
White Rabbit? Oh, yeah. Back in the day, boy, is that dating me.
Well, hey, speaking of petrochemical exploration, actually working this into a clever segue. Huh?
Huh?
Hunter Biden, Knight of the Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't that the name of the Robert
Mitchum?
Leaning. If you haven't seen the movie Knight of the Hunter starring Robert Mitchum, the only film ever directed by
that guy. I'll find it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. A well-known actor played the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, no. He directed more than that, didn't he?
No, Lawton? Charles Lawton. That was the only film Lawton ever directed, because Lawton, who played Captain Bligh in Mutiny on the Bounty as well, wonderful actor, but the film was not well received, but it has since become recognized as a classic. Anyway, Mitchum plays a killer in that film who walks around impersonating a pastor, and you can hear him coming in the distance because he's singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Yeah. Anyway, Night of the Hunter. Hunter Biden, the son of our Vice President Joseph Biden, has been named the head of the legal department for the largest privately owned natural gas production and exploration company in Ukraine.
Yes, I know. I did see that. And I saw someone opining that since then we haven't heard a whole lot of news coming out of Ukraine. That's not true. But I don't think that honestly, I don't think that will play well because Biden intends to run. I'm sure he does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that was part of the deal. You serve as VP for 8 years and then you get to run.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, that seems like the deal. I mean,
which
Biden
if you've
ran,
ever thought of leaving the United States,
yeah,
now's the time, people.
So
President Biden.
it's very interesting that the comments from the White House were, of course, that President Obama and Vice President Biden had no comment. They don't control what Hunter Biden does, and they directed all questions to Biden's law firm in New York. He's joining the board of directors and he will head up the legal department for what is called Ukraine's largest private gas producer.
Yes.
Now, isn't it interesting that the government in Ukraine was just regime changed basically at the instigation of the West, the United States, and, well, the G7, basically, the United States and the EU.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't really matter. The people of Ukraine aren't getting anything out of any of this.
No, they aren't.
Because they're the ones who have to figure out how to heat their homes when winter comes. And I don't know what other, you know, products and uses they have for the natural gas that comes primarily right now from Gazprom.
Right.
But Gazprom has said, in effect, pay us up front and then we'll send you the gas.
Yeah. When they shut off the gas to Europe a few years ago, Poland saw pressures in its natural gas pipelines drop by 30%. And David Cameron, head of the EU, or head of the UK, excuse me, Prime Minister of the UK, has suggested that the G7, it's no longer the G8 because Russia's been kicked out, get together and figure out alternate ways of getting natural gas to Western Europe. From North Africa, from the North Sea, perhaps, and also perhaps, interestingly enough, by banning exports on shale gas drilled in the United States.
Oh.
More fracking.
Oh.
It's
yeah,
in the fracking shale.
How do you that's good. That's really good. You going to put a patch over one eye?
That would be, well, yes, actually, probably.
Yeah, well, you are going to be playing a pirate.
Yeah.
That'll work right in.
Yeah. So anyway, a little Battlestar Galactica reference there for those of you who didn't catch the reference, the whole point of the,
And if you have not watched the reimagined Battlestar Galactica, shame on you.
Yeah.
If you're trying to find what is we're being pre-programmed to believe, you really need to watch that
That's
show.
That's the place, yeah. So anyway, just imagine the hue and cry among progressives if, say, during the first Gulf War, when Saddam was kicked out of Kuwait, that if George W. or Neil or Jeb had suddenly showed up on the board of directors of a Kuwaiti-owned natural petroleum company. Could you imagine the screams of outrage?
Well, we're going to find out soon because I'm guessing that Jeb is going to run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it could be very interesting. Could be very interesting. There's all kinds of baggage coming in. I mean, we were talking before we turned on the microphones. We actually should have had the microphones out in the living room an hour ago, talking about the abduction of the 200 girls in Nigeria by Boko Haram, the Islamist radical group in Nigeria.
Right.
Whose name basically translates as what? Western education.
Western is sinful, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, first of all, you got, well, we'll go there in a second. But Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, resisted for a couple of years having Boko Haram categorized as a terrorist organization.
Yeah, even though they are supposedly an arm of, or originally established as an arm of Al Qaeda.
Uh huh.
So why are you not calling them what?
I bet she'd want a do-over on that one.
Oh, yeah. She's going to want a do-over on a lot of things, I think, because she does run. It's possible she won't, but
This is her last shot, really.
This will be her last shot, yeah. And it all depends. You know, she, honestly, it could be that she's going to just want to stay home, and because her daughter now is going to have her first child.
Yeah, Hillary's so maternal.
Well, you know, I don't know her personally, and she might be.
Yeah,
I know, okay. She went on record as saying, I'm not going to bake cookies and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I know, she grew up as a radical and this and that, but you change as you get older, and she is getting older. She's even older than I am, which is really amazing.
No, but you make a good point. There are things that I would certainly want to do over if I had the opportunity.
Well, and she may just want to slow down. I mean, she fell, as we know, several times. But at least one that made the press big time last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
And her press office said it took her, you know, a couple of weeks, 4 weeks at the most to get over it, 30 days or so. We find out now that it really took 6 months.
Oh.
Well, you know, honestly, if you hurt yourself when you get older, it takes a while for those, especially if it's soft tissue, it takes a while for that to really heal. And she's been a busy woman.
Sam's done.
Sorry, we both just looked down at Sam because he's down there going,
It's too late at night. You started this show too late.
Mom's going to be crabby in the morning because she won't get the sleep she needs. Mom gets up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
When dawn's cracking, I'm always up here. But I don't know if she's going to run or not. But yeah,
it will be interesting.
Yeah. But you know, this Boko Haram thing, it's a really bit disturbing the way it is playing in the press. And you and I, as you said, were talking about this earlier. And here are at least 200 girls who have are being forced to leave their Christian faith, told that they're being programmed to believe certain ways. They may be treated badly. Or treated well, either way, sometimes will get you to side with your captors. They're being married to their captors in some cases. This is not a good time for these girls. And as you said, our grandfathers would have said, oh, I see. Well, let's go get them, boys.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's put a hashtag, boys.
Yeah, let's put a hashtag on our, hashtag bring back our girls.
Yeah, like, that'll do it.
Wait, excuse me? Really?
Yeah. Really? Who in the first lady's press office said, let's have a photo op with our first lady holding a sign that can be so easily photoshopped to anything we wanted to say?
Yeah.
That was the worst idea. And the hashtag thing, I know, social media can make a difference. It can make people aware of something.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I think it's great. But it's really not the same as let's go get them, boys.
No, it isn't. You know, you're talking. This is the ultimate in astroturfing. I mean, this is not a grassroots attempt to get something done. This is the
astroturfing.
Yes, this is the first lady trying to jump out in front of a movement already. But still, it's the difference between the way it was done back in the day versus today's progressive media. Oh, I'm going to change my icon to black. That'll really show them. These girls, meanwhile, it's been several weeks.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that really kind of frosts me. It took the media a couple of weeks to even pay attention that this was going on.
Yeah.
And suddenly, a couple of weeks later, then we're talking about it. Then Michelle Obama is standing up there with a hashtag sign.
And this is even after Boko Haram came in and said, we did it, because it took like 4 or 5 days before they even came forward and said, we're the ones did it. The problem, as you have said it to me, and I think you're probably right on this, is that when we go in from the West and we say, this is how things should be run, we're going to make a democracy out of your country by bringing in our oil companies and our other companies and essentially taking all your minerals and not giving you, the people, anything in return, because this is what's going on in much of Africa. We're inviting rebels to come and say, no, you're not. And if the only way that they can get the attention, again, I'm not siding with Boko Haram, but I think our politicians should know in advance that this is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
People are going to grasp at any straw to get the attention of the West. And instead of really, I don't know, maybe diplomatically behind the scene, there's something going on. But I think that the president, not the first lady, the president should have come out the very next day.
And said, this is reprehensible.
You can't do that.
This is reprehensible. Yeah. What in effect has happened, if you step back and really look at this in like a big picture sort of way, is that the emphasis on educating girls, which, you know, let's set aside the question of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, you know, I'm thrilled and delighted that you are the most intelligent person that I know, and that women like our daughter is allowed to, you know, explore the opportunities that are available to her,
yeah,
while at the same time recognizing that the values of our parents' generation, the fact that my mother stayed home until my sister and I were both old enough essentially to take care of ourselves, the fact that your mom was by and large a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm, had a profound influence on who we are today. And yet stay-at-home mothers today are ridiculed. In fact, not to deviate from this topic, but there's a new movie out starring Patricia Heaton from the show with is getting
Home Improvement.
Thank you. Getting savaged by critics because it depicts a group of stay-at-home moms going out and having a night out.
Yeah, because it's supposedly a Christian movie.
Yes, and because it depicts women in what these critics think is a barbaric way, staying at home. Oh, horrors, like cave, they might as well be living in cave times.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, we in the West, by going into places like Afghanistan and Iraq and Nigeria and wherever, and telling them, we're going to educate your girls, which directly contradicts what they believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
We are, in effect, making those young girls weapons in a culture war.
Yeah.
What happens in war? You try to defuse or destroy the weapons your enemy is trying to use to destroy you. We're trying to use these young girls to destroy their way of life. Again, set aside the question of whether their way of life is right or wrong.
Right.
Does it really surprise us then that Boko Haram has responded by targeting these young girls? Does it surprise us when young girls in Afghanistan or Iraq are targeted because they're being used by Western progressives,
mm-hmm,
as weapons in the culture war, which incidentally is exactly what the progressives have done with the American system of public education. Is it not? I mean,
I am only laughing because it's so true.
They have used our education system.
Yes.
To win a culture war against us, mm-hmm, the Christians.
That's
Let them have it.
That is,
we let them have it. That's the difference. We
absolutely
let them have it.
But we've been programmed to roll over.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons that I mentioned pre-programming earlier with regard to Battlestar Galactica. That is the thing that we have grown up with from the late 19th century. Places like the Tavistock Institute,
mm-hmm,
places like over here, the, brain is fading. Various colleges over here. I just started reading about this last night, so forgive me. We have been targets of our own kind. It's a way to control the masses, and it's being sold to sociology professors,
mm-hmm,
as this is a great way to have a more peaceful future. You find ways to play down the negative, feelings of people. We don't want crime out there. The irony is that by doing all of this, you're actually creating more crime.
Hmm.
Oh yeah, by saying that everybody should play nice and everybody should get along, you actually begin to have people go, I don't want to feel that way. It brings out more of a negative feedback, but at the same time, this mind control program, and it goes back to MK Ultra and all of that, it uses not just memes in movies and memes in television and programming and political talks and programming in the front, the headlines and hashtags and shares on Facebook and, uh-huh, likes. And I mean, just think about it. Think about this for a minute. The Facebook wall, the newsfeed,
mm-hmm,
we don't have a don't like.
True. We don't.
We don't have an I support. We don't have agree. In fact, it used to be agree, I think, but it's now like. You can either like or dislike or unlike.
Or ignore, yeah.
Yeah, or ignore.
You can't.
So, and there are other organizations that online will have a window pop up, and you'll see this big, big green happy button that says, okay. And you just sort of can reflexively hit it, and you realize you just said okay to signing up for something or publishing on Facebook. We are manipulated daily by what we do online, by what we watch on cable television, by what we watch in the news. We are constantly being mm-hmm. shaped and formed and told what to think, what to feel, how to react, when to go to sleep, uh-huh. and I do mean that mentally, and when to wake up. You wake up when we're telling you stories about Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah.
Go to sleep when we're telling you stories about the California fires, mm-hmm. because that's not really a big problem. We definitely don't want you looking at the true story behind Boko Haram. We want them to look like savages who have just kidnapped these innocent girls, and the girls are innocent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't want you to know about religion.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want you to know it has anything to do with an Islamist group. We don't want you to know that it has anything to do with the fact that they are fighting against the West, because we've been there since the late 19th century,
yeah.
around 1905 or something like that.
Oil.
British Petroleum went in,
yep.
and they started digging for it, and they actually found it, I think, in 58. 56? Oh, they dug a long time before they really found it. Mm. And they made deals and...
And I know that there are parts of Africa where it was found early on.
No, Nigeria, it took a lot longer.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've now found all sorts of oil. They've found natural gas. They're mm-hmm. building pipelines that go through that whole sort of bend there in the... that western region near Côte d'Ivoire and... You know, that little bend in Africa?
Yes, yes. I'm thinking where some of the other nations are. And, I need to look at a map, because wasn't it not far from where the recent outbreak in Ebola, that really nasty strain of Ebola was taking place?
You know, that's another thing we should probably talk about.
Well, I'll tell you what. While you dig in that one, because that's more your area of expertise, I will bring up a story that I thought really interesting, because it relates to what we've been talking about.
Yeah,
relates to the a writing project that we're beginning, and that is news today that an algorithm has been appointed to the board of directors of a venture capital company, and a computer algorithm. This program, which is called Vital, is going to vote on whether to invest in specific companies or not. It's working for a new firm called, an existing firm called Deep Knowledge Ventures, which is interesting because deep knowledge, deep thinking, deep mind research mm-hmm. is about neural network research and how to create those artificially in a computer program. So, this program will have a vote on the board of directors about future investments. The computer algorithm is now a voting member. Now, this gets into issues of personhood, because can a computer algorithm be held liable for malfeasance, failure to do due diligence on behalf of the shareholders
of
this company?
For plotting to get rid of the other board members?
Perhaps. Things like that. This is just the first step. This is coming. A computer algorithm occupies a seat on a board of directors of a real live company. So anyway, West Africa, Ebola broke out since we last talked.
It's in Guinea. And Ebola, there are all sorts of nasty things taking place in the world. Ebola... But we've also got that's something that's been brewing for a while. Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, MERS mm-hmm. is now here in the United States.
Mm.
There was a case in Indiana. Yeah, I grew up in India. Case in Indiana and a case in Florida. And the case in Florida, the person before being diagnosed was in the ER waiting room for about 12 hours.
Oh.
And so lots of people were exposed. So lots of people are now being tested, mm-hmm. including all of the attending health professionals that were there that night. I assume it was night, ER. Because even though the person was presenting with diarrhea and fever and things like that, and there are certain protocols that you use when you're dealing with someone who has diarrhea. But you don't necessarily put on a mask or totally gown or anything like that. You put on gloves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all being tested. It's only a plane ride away.
So MERS is...
MERS is like SARS. It's a coronavirus, but it started in the Middle East. They're not really sure where the wellspring of it is, if it's in camels or bats or, excuse me, what. It's been found in both. Me and my rabbit holing. It might be, it could be that someone's just taken a virus that was naturally occurring in the wild and tweaked it just a little bit and came up with that. But it's about 30% fatal.
That's
not 50% fatal.
Well, bear in mind, and now this is a little nugget of trivia that we've tossed out before, that the estimate of the lethality of Spanish flu of 1919, which killed some say as many as 50 million people, was only about 5%.
Right.
So think about that.
Yeah, yeah. If this really starts spreading, it could be really terrible.
Mm.
And it's one of those viruses that sleeps for a bit. It you don't really show the infection. You don't show symptoms for the first few days. So you can catch it from someone who's shedding virus and not know you're sick until you notice you're short of breath. That's the big hallmark sign that when people start to finally see a doctor is that they're short of breath.
And it's been some time since
you
caught
it. Yeah, probably been percolating for a week or two.
Uh-huh. And you start shedding virus right away or?
I was always taught you shed virus when you have a fever. So if airports are diligent about not allowing anyone to fly who has a fever, well, that also means that you have to go up and look at everybody and can you just open your mouth? Or there are little scanners that you can scan to see what people's – get a pretty good idea of what their body temperature is. But, again, they have to have the equipment and be willing to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And they're too busy putting us through the those naked body
exactly.
scanners. I have been through so many of those in the past year.
And
I'm
you
just
glow.
Really,
you glow, honey.
Anyway.
But Ebola, that is also taking place in Africa. And that's – I'm really sort of mystified as to why it left the Congo, which I think was where it was originally discovered is now in nation states that previously it had no occurrences.
Most recent update from about 10 hours ago as we record this on May the 16th of 2014 is that 248 cases of Ebola have been reported in the nation of Guinea.
Yeah, 171
deaths.
Yeah.
So, my goodness, that's...
That's 50%.
Yeah, that's more than 50%. That's almost close to two-thirds.
Yeah.
So,
your math is better than mine.
Well,
you're just so smart.
all those, you don't play all that fantasy baseball against Mike Heiser without learning a little something about calculating batting average. And by the way, I am happy to report that today, tomorrow, and Sunday left in the week. And this week, I'm facing Mike Heiser's team in his Naked Bible Fantasy Baseball League.
Uh-huh.
And my team, the Charleston Shoes, leading 12-6 so far.
Honey, way to go.
Yeah, so.
Is it the ex-Cub factor?
Didn't you pick
out players who had gone up against...
Well, yeah, early in the week, I ran into a bad thing. See, this is my secret plan this week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're giving it away.
Yeah. Well, by the time people read this, the week will be over, so it won't help Heiser. I pick any pitcher who's got to face the Cubs. I mean, I, as a Cubs fan, it pains me to do this, but as a fantasy baseball general manager, you got to do what you got to do for your team to win.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, the Cubs on Monday of this week, I threw a pitcher up against the Cubs. Yeah. And they scored 17 runs, which is more than they'd scored in like the 8 previous games combined or something ridiculous. So that doesn't always work. Yeah. It doesn't work when you encounter a pitcher who should be playing for the Cubs.
Aww.
Well.
Well, I'm looking at, when I go through the news and sometimes I share things to my Twitter wall, which goes to Facebook as well. Other times I just, put them at Pocket because I want to see it later and I don't really care about sharing it. One of the stories that I saw this morning that really made me stop and think is this story about the Pentagon removing 50 nuclear missiles from silos in and around the Yellowstone area. And now, mind you, this is just, I'm telling you, the geographic mm-hmm. region. It's not that they're in Yellowstone. But what I find, intriguing about this is supposedly this is in response to the START Treaty, which was from 2010 when our country told Russia, we'll all be nice now and we'll get rid of our nuclear weapons, won't we? Mm. And, of course, Russia winked. And we did, too, actually, because while lawmakers really had worried that we were going to eliminate the entire ICBM squadron at three Air Force bases in North Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming, turns out that we're actually going to keep 450 Minuteman III missiles and just take out 50 missiles. However, we are going to keep the silos operational in what's being described as, and I quote, warm but empty status. Huh. Now, buried in the article was this little tidbit. This is what made me laugh out loud when when I was reading it. Malmstrom, which is near Great Falls, has been rocked in recent months, it says, by the discovery of widespread cheating on proficiency tests that the Air Force officers have to take before they can serve in these Minuteman III launch teams. They were cheating to pass the test.
Now, correct
me. This has been going on for 2 years that they were cheating to pass the test.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't nuclear missile operator be one of those job titles where you would really hope that the guys know what they're supposed to do?
And he looks nothing like Homer, but I'm guessing that Homer had to cheat. Lieutenant Homer had to cheat. I think this is just insanity that officer who was over all of this has now been replaced.
Hmm.
He probably cheated to get into his little job, but he's now been replaced, and this has been fixed, so we don't have to worry about cheating on those exams anymore.
Well, that's good to know. It's also good to know that the nuclear missiles around Yellowstone are probably not there anymore, since that's where the Yellowstone supervolcano is.
Well, exactly. When I first saw the headline, which was actually at a forum, someone had created his own headline, which was not the headline at this article, but it did say Yellowstone. And what he did is he, rather than actually read the article, saw the headline and decided, because these three states encompass, or Yellowstone is within these, there anyway. So that's that story. But if it blows, it's best not to have those nuclear weapons there. But honestly, I'm thinking that if Yellowstone blows, those nuclear weapons will seem like little pop guns compared to it.
Yeah, well, it would be the least of our worries at that point. What else? Why would the Department of Agriculture need submachine guns? The Department of Agriculture has put out a request
cows,
for bid.
Honey.
Like in the movie, "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?"
Those cows, they're out to get them.
Well, that's true. They are trying to, warm the climate through their flatulence.
Oh yeah, and they've heard about that.
Yeah,
and they're not taking it. They've got their own little militia now.
There may be a good reason for this, and I don't
can't
know.
Imagine what it is, to be honest with you.
But the Department of Agriculture has put out a solicitation for guns to have, and I quote, ambidextrous safety, semi-automatic or two-round bursts trigger group, tritium night sights front and rear, rails for attachment of flashlight and scope, stock collapsible or folding, and a 30-round capacity magazine.
They
want the submachine guns, compass in the stock, and a thing which tells time. Some machine guns to have a sling, be lightweight, and have an oversized trigger guard for gloved operation. So again, this is authentic. I'll put a link
night
to the solicitation.
Night sights.
Yeah.
Night sights. They're going to just show up at some farmer's place at night.
I'm not sure what there probably are security men or teams within the Department of Agriculture, but still, I mean, submachine guns?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they were described in the solicitation, which is at...
I know. Well, look, the Department of Education has to be armed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. It just seems a little odd to me. Again, bearing in mind, I am not a policeman, nor have I played one on TV. I don't understand.
Here's what we're going to see is that the FCC is going to require those guns too, because it could be that they're going to be taking over the internet.
Yeah. I don't know.
FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler wants it. I think he wants that to happen. Mr. Wheeler's goal is to satisfy the net neutrality supporters demanding that every broadband customer receive the same deal, no matter how much bandwidth they consume. But backed by other Democrats, he's said he prefers the reasonable pricing standard. It goes on and on. Well, it looks to me like the FCC is eventually going to take over and... Well, you know, so it's going to go the way it goes. Hashtag net neutrality.
Yeah, well, so they can stop us from writing things on Michelle Obama's hashtag signs when she gets her picture taken for Instagram or whatever. But no, we will be glad to know that our government is does have the zombie apocalypse contingency plan all drawn up and ready to go. The Pentagon has drawn up a plan called ConOp 8888. It is an unclassified document.
8888.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which was found on a computer network. A zombie survival plan, a how-to guide for military planners trying to isolate the threat from a menu of the undead, from chicken zombies to vegetarian zombies and even evil magic zombies, and then destroy them. It almost sounds like...
a game. Chicken zombies? It sounds like a game.
A spokesperson for Strategic Command said, you know, this document is not a U.S. Strategic Command plan. The document is identified as a training tool used as an in-house training exercise where students learn about basic military concepts through a fictional training scenario.
And how to use an ambidextrous safety. Yeah.
On a gun with a light submachine gun with night sights on front and mirror.
And a compass in the sock.
So anyway.
Well, another story that came out today that I saved a pocket was that the current trend in climate change is going to, by the end of the 21st century, see Washington, D.C. underwater by about 5 feet.
Yay!
yes, we wanted to, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, good news, finally. Gosh.
Well, sadly, that may not be the case, because it's reported today by the Daily Mail in the U.K. that a new study was rejected for publication. But a study by five authors, the lead author is a professor at the University of Reading, Leonard Bengtson, who said that the study, which he and his co-authors had presented for publication, was rejected because, in his opinion, it might fuel climate skepticism.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. He's a research fellow at the University of Reading, one of five authors of the study, and said he suspected that intolerance of dissenting views on climate science was preventing the paper from being published.
Oh, yeah? Well, NASA helped to fund the study I'm talking about.
Oh.
So, you know, when they're not busy trying to help the Muslim world be happy, they are funding studies about climate change. Mm. And if they get the money that's been allocated, they may just try to get to Europa.
Oh.
Which... again, talking about the programming memes, if you've never seen 2010, which is the follow-up to 2001 Space Odyssey, you really need to watch it, because they find out what's causing all of that, including the storm on Jupiter, the red eye on Jupiter. And it's one of the big lines from the movie, and I'm not spoiling it too much by telling you this, is when talking about the gigantic storm eye on Jupiter, saying, it's shrinking!
Yeah.
It's shrinking! He screams it, so I had to. We learned today that it's shrinking.
The eye on Jupiter is shrinking.
The storm is shrinking.
And the Hubble telescope will be trained on it to find that it's being filled up with monoliths.
Yes, exactly. and anything that we send to Europa can't land here. Make no attempt to land here.
No landings there, yes. But and you might think, you know, wonder, why are the Gilberts talking about this? This is really bizarre.
Because the
2015 federal budget request submitted by the White House included $15 million for developing a mission to Europa. Now, why Europa? Mm-hmm. Why leapfrog Mars and Jupiter and go right for Europa? Why? Apparently, a congressman for the Houston area, which of course is where the Johnson, what do they call it? Johnson Space Center in I should know this.
Yeah.
Might
be the Neil Sedaka Space Center.
Anyway, there is money in the budget. Yes, the Johnson Space Center has included money for Europa. And that is significant because Europa played a key role, as you say, in 2010, where the monoliths began to develop. Apparently, whatever space race, energy beings or whatever that David Bowman became one of, decided that there was a species on Europa that showed evolutionary promise.
Exactly.
And so they needed to ignite Jupiter and turn it into a star, which they called
Lucifer.
Yeah. So,
and this gets into this notion of transhumanism, of the noosphere, of consciousness, the universe waking up and being conscious and becoming, you know, a member of a board of directors.
Bizarre. It's a strange world. And, you know, the weird thing is, when we start talking about things like this with people who don't listen to Pete, Sam is staring at us. It must be
how
close
long have
to,
we been going?
About 45 minutes.
We've only been going 45 minutes.
But, Mom, it's 7:30.
Well, that's true.
So, yeah, but, and you know, I'm surprised that we just now caught on to this Europa mission, because there have been stories about the Europa mission for a couple of years now, going back to 2012 or earlier. So,
well, I'm glad you caught it, because what we have been seeing are pictures of astronauts in the new suits that will be worn in the mission to Mars.
Yeah.
We're hearing about missions to Mars a lot, but not necessarily skipping over Mars
to go to
and
Europa.
Going straight to Jupiter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, we talk to people who don't listen to PID Radio or other, you know, like-minded podcasts out there, don't follow the work of people like, well, in the Christian community, you know, Tom Horn is basically taking the lead on this. Tom Horn and some others on transhumanism, and a few others. But my goodness, among the people that we encounter,
Ghani Shamora. If you have not seen, is it Age of Deceit 2?
Yeah.
If you've not seen that, he's got it posted at YouTube. It was taken down briefly, but it's back up, and he was challenged for legal. Don't even get me.
Yeah, it's a.
Yeah, you can ask him about it sometime.
Spurious,
but anyway, he overcame that. YouTube agreed that he had every right to put that up there. So it's his documentary. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's seeing things that are right there.
Yeah. But aside from those few people who have caught on to this, the body of the church, the body of Christ is pretty much
oblivious.
Yeah, and not necessarily even sleeping. I mean, they're going about the business of helping the poor. I mean, the church body that we're part of here is very active in supporting local ministries to help the homeless, to help those who are hungry, and we are very, you know, glad to see it. We're proud to be able to help.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful way to win people to Christ.
Exactly.
Is to
yes.
lift him up while you are meeting their physical needs.
Right. And when you're really involved in some of those things, I mean, after my dad retired, he and a couple of other retired fellows in their church down in Greenville, South Carolina, put a lot of time into organizing their food pantry and really streamlining the process and helping a lot of people. But it takes time. It takes energy. It takes focus. And then you're not spending that time or energy or focus on the kind of stuff that we're doing. And sadly, there need to be a few of us out here kind of on the walls looking out and saying, hey, there's this thing coming.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do. That's why we do this program. It's it's not that we're just all about, you know, trying to come up with some new sexy sci-fi fantasy prophecy, you know.
Baseball
paradigm.
Team?
Yeah. Yes, that's the name of the team. Baseball team, go! Exclamation point. Oh,
and monkey go.
Yes, exactly.
Super monkey go.
And I'll get George Takei as our official spokesman. That'll be brilliant. But this the transhumanism agenda, transhumanist agenda, is going to overtake the church if we're not if we don't get the word out. Because there are a lot of people in the church who are very intelligent people who love the Lord who just don't see it, don't know it.
But we are each one of us. Individually responsible for our choices on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
We will stand before Jesus Christ all alone. We won't be able to say, but my pastor said, now,
right.
he or she may be judged on what they failed to do. in fact, will be judged on what James, they did or did not. Exactly.
Yeah, James wrote about that,
But we don't get to use that as an excuse. So if you are sitting in the pews and you're not reading the Bible on your own and you're not getting this information on your own, then you are going to be held responsible for that. And I will hold up my hand as someone who doesn't read it enough.
Me too.
I'll admit it. Yeah. So let's all challenge each other. Let's get that Bible read this year. Let's get the whole thing cover to cover.
Yeah.
Hashtag read your Bible.
And that's it. And on that note, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.